Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to the book of Ruth here tonight. The book of Ruth, and I have been meditating on this thought through the day, and just really, I know, you know, you sort of get leery about preaching on the book of Ruth because of the great men like Brian McBride and how he expounds on that. You just veer away from that kind of stuff because you're like, well, I can't do it like he does. Well, I'm not Brian McBride, so I'm just going to knock that out of the way. I'm just myself. And all I know to do is to be myself. If I try to be a Brian McBride tonight, I'll just make a big mess out of that. And God's give him a special gift to expound on that. But may I say that God called when he says to preach the whole counsel of God, he did not divide it up and says, you men preach on this book and you men preach on this book. He told all of us to preach the whole counsel of God. And when you realize there's nothing new under the sun anyways. And so I'm just going to be myself. I'm just going to give you what God give me. And hopefully it will be a blessing to you in this hour. If you found the book of Ruth, hopefully that you have. And if you have, and if you'll find the book of 1 Samuel, come back one book, you'll run into Ruth. And then if you haven't found that, look for the book of Judges and go right to the right, and you'll run into the book of Ruth. And it's the eighth book of your Bible. And, of course, it has that of the new beginning, and there is a new beginning in the book of Ruth. So if you all wouldn't mind standing, I sure would appreciate that. We'll read just a few verses here tonight out of Ruth chapter number 1, and we're going to start in verse number 1. Everybody there say amen. It says this, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi. The name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. The name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husbands. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." I want to take a thought, if God would help me. And Lord, I do need your help here tonight. I do want to preach on this thought, the cost of a 10-year journey. The cost of a 10-year journey. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we sure do love you because you first loved us. And God, we sure do need you again tonight. God, I do want to publicly, and I have thanked you through the day of what you done here last night, and how you touched these both of these young ladies, and God, how you have touched them and brought them to the altar. Thank you for that prodigal that come home last night. God, I was reminiscing tonight, and Lord, I do want you to forgive me where we did not begin to be merry like it was in Luke 15. And God, there was that of feeding and the feast and the joy and the happiness. God, I'd have to admit last night we probably missed that of not being happy and rejoicing and praising God for a prodigal that would walk the aisle and get right with you. Oh, God, I pray that you'd forgive us of that great tragedy. God, I'd pray that you'd help us that when that prodigal comes home, we'll be happy when they do. We'll rejoice when they do. We'll be merry when they do. And God, there'll be music when they do. And God, I'm asking that you'd touch tonight. God, that you would move amongst us in a mighty way. God, I'm needing your help one more time. God, that you'd touch my throat. God, I thank you for how you have today. God, I thank you for the measure of health that you bestowed upon our bodies to be here tonight. God, I pray that you'd be with those that are not here, those that has an ailment that came upon them so suddenly today. Would you touch this dear lady? God, you'd raise her up quickly and allow her to be back in her seat on tomorrow. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you'd be with those that might be watching. God, I'd pray that you'd touch their hearts as well. But most of all, would you revive your people that are here tonight? God, that you'd stir us just one more time. That you'd draw us to you in this hour. God, we do need revival. God, we do need you in a most definite way. But God is going to take us drawing nigh to you first, and then, God, you said you would draw nigh to us. God, I'm praying we'd take the first step, and God, you'd do the rest. And so, Lord, we're asking that we'd be in complete obedience to the things of God here tonight. God, no telling what you would do. Help us, I pray. We'll praise you ahead of time. And, Lord, I believe I could pray and talk to you for an hour. But, Lord, we'll close this prayer off and say thank you, and we love you because you first loved us. And we'll ask it in the name which is above every name, and that's at the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank God for the liberty of prayer. And taking a look at the book of Ruth, and we see, if you'd go back to the book of Judges at the last chapter, and really just in the last few verses, especially in verse number 24, it says, "And the children of Israel departed thence at the time, and every to his tribe and to his family, and went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. And there in that day there was no king of Israel. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Can I say today we have got an epidemic of people that are doing right in their own eyes. They've walked away from the things of God, and it seems like there is no preacher speaking against what's going on in our day. I was studying today about the message of Malachi, and the reality with that is that most churches wouldn't allow Malachi to stand behind their pulpit, because reality, he was just a straightforward preacher. Well, can I say in this day, we've got those that just wants to have their ears tickled. They just want to be put on just being blessed, but they don't want to be blistered. Well, can I tell you, we need to preach the whole counsel of God, amen. And can I tell you, I was reading today that, and you read it twice where it's in reproof, rebuke. Well, can I tell you, there's two-thirds negative, one-third positive. God backed it up again when he talked about that correction. There was that two-thirds negative, one-third positive. Well, can I tell you, we don't need to get put on another plateau. We just need to get right with God in the days that we're living. We've sort of sidestepped some of the sins that's going on. Preachers used to preach on things, and now when it's in their own family, won't preach on it at all. Well, can I tell you, this culture does not usurp the Bible. The Bible usurps culture. Say amen. And 2024 has not changed the Word of God at all. The Bible tells you in the book of Psalms 119 that His Word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. And it is not changing for you, and it is not changing for me. Amen. Can I tell you, you can do that which isn't right in your eyes, but your end will be the demise of yourself. And can I say, it hasn't worked in the days of Samson. It won't work in the days of Joshua. It didn't work in the days of Noah. Can I tell you, it won't work in our days of people doing that which is right in their own eyes. And that is a tragedy. But can I tell you, because of that, people doing that which was right in their own eyes, may I say, there's a situation that arises in the book of Ruth. And God is going to judge the wayward. Amen. Because the Bible says here, "Now it came to pass in those days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land." Can I tell you, number one, in that situation, there was a famine. You'll read in the Old Testament, there's 13 different famines in the Old Testament alone. Well, can I tell you, God uses famine to judge His people. But can I tell you, a famine is used to draw God's people back to God. Amen. Y'all, I know it's going to get real good today. I ate the sweet pill that I ate yesterday, and it tasted pretty good today. But can I tell you, in this hour, God will use a famine, and we see that famine is to draw us to God. Well, I hate to even bring it up, but I have. But can I say, in the last 4 years that we've been living, we've seen a people not draw nigh to God, but we've seen people who have drawn away from God. It is costing you to do that, ma'am or sir. We've got people that are more interested in playing sports, and I'm not against sports. But can I tell you, the sports world is not going to help you spiritually. Amen. There's people who miss church on Wednesday because of baseball practice and football practice and hockey practice. That's a bunch of hogwash is what that is. Can I tell you, God's not going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful baseball hitter." He's not going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful football catcher." He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what He's going to say. And you wonder why our condition of our land is where we're at. It's because people people is not, they're not saying anything. Well, can I say that we see the situation? There was a famine in the land. Then we see the family that's here. There was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Can I tell you, we meet a family that's in the book of Ruth. Number one, we meet Elimelech. Elimelech is the husband of this house. Can I say, husbands, we are the spiritual leaders of our homes. Amen. We've got too many women. Am I all right, preacher? We got too many women are trying to play the role of what the husband should be doing, and we got too many husbands that's allowing their wives to do it. Say amen. Amen. Can I tell you, when the house gets out of order, spiritually you are out of order. The wife is not the spiritual leader. Now, I will say this. My wife has trained my two daughters up well. She's got a role in raising my two girls up. She's done an outstanding job. I appreciate how God has used her in a most definite way to raise them up to be godly ladies, and I appreciate how they've come out thus far. But I'm not naive that they can't depart tomorrow. Say amen. But the husbands need to be the husbands of the house and need to lead their family spiritually in the time of famine. Can I say there's a Elimelech? Elimelech means my God is king. Well, can I tell you, Elimelech took his journey down to Moab. I wonder, I wrote this down today, I wonder what dethroned God off his heart. Can I ask you, is God truly king of your heart? I was thinking about Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Well, can I tell you, Isaiah didn't see the Lord until Uzziah died. Can I tell you, it tells us that Uzziah was the king of Isaiah's heart. I wonder, what's the king of your heart? Amen. Can I tell you, the world? Is it fishing? Is it NASCAR? Is it this? Is it prestige? Is it your friend? Can I tell you, something is on the throne of your heart. It's either the world or it's God. I'm telling you, we've got too many people that's running after the things of this world and putting a high emphasis. And can I tell you, we've got parents that are more worried about their children trying to get a scholarship of playing football in college. I'm not after that, amen. I'm after two girls that knows the Lord. Say amen right there. I'd rather have two daughters that would have a spiritual aspect about their life than they would have a strong academic of their life. Amen. And I tell you, it's my responsibility to show them who the king of the Joneses family is. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, Elimelech said, and when he was named, evidently Elimelech had two godly parents. Just because you have godly parents don't mean you turn out right. Amen. And I tell you, when we see that he had parents, and boy, what a great blessing to those around just by his name. But may I say, Elimelech, he chose to take the easy way out. And I say, we see Naomi, who means pleasant. Melion, sickly. Chilion means beauty. Can I say, there's some meaning behind all that. But I don't want to deal with that tonight. But can I say, too many times when the times get tough, people want the easy way out. Say amen. I mean, I hit it the other night. We've made Christianity easy. It takes effort to get up on a Tuesday night after you worked all day, get dressed, do the Batman or the Superman change, eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich as you run out the door to come to a meeting. Say amen. Boy, it's just simple to sit at home. I'm telling you. I mean, we've made Christianity too easy. Too easy in our day. We don't want to sacrifice nothing for God anymore. I mean, I'm glad we're having a Sunday through Friday revival. But boy, we used to have 2 week revivals. First week to get right with God. The second week to be revived. I mean, and to shatter out and enjoy the good things of God. But now we have brought our meetings down
because the people, and I know why, I mean, I understand, not knocking it, but I've heard pastors say, oh, my people just won't come. Can I tell you what that tells me? Christianity's too easy. Too easy. We take the easy road out on Christianity. I don't want to go. I'm telling you, there'd be people that used to back the meetings, and now they won't come to any meeting anymore. I mean, really, I'm going to be honest with you. This church should be full, not because I'm preaching. Say amen. But because there's a meeting going on in our community, and boy, churches would back it. It'd be packed out. I mean, standing room only. Now, you could put them in the center of the church and barely fill it up. Amen. Can I tell you, nobody wants to sacrifice anything for God. And there's a famine in our land, and it may not be a bread and water. Definitely it's not a food. But can I tell you, there's a famine in our land of hearing the Word of God. Elimelech took the easy road. Abraham took the easy road and had to lie himself out of that. Can I tell you, shortcutting God in our day, it's not going to get you anywhere. Y'all okay? We're going somewhere. It's going to get better. Promise you, it'll get better. But we're living in days now that if you go past a certain hour, boy, you lose the crowd. I mean, you go over that big blue pond called the Atlantic, plunge off into India, and those people have four-hour services, and they sit on the ground for 4 hours while you preach. And go to a place in Egypt, 105 degrees in a full suit, and you're wringing wet before you even get up there, and they tell you when you get up there, no less than an hour. They'll get mad at you. Boy, they'd have been mad at me Sunday morning. But can I tell you, they'll get mad at you if you cut her off in an hour. People's got their phones to go off at noon. Aggravates the fire out of me. Now, I'm not knocking the 8:30 thing last night. Can I tell you, we tried to simplify and make it easy. Elimelech did that. He took an easy road out when a famine came in. And we see his family, his far country. Watch what the Bible says. Y'all ready? Verse 1. And there was a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and he and his wife and his two sons. Can I tell you, we see his far country experience. Can I say, he just went to sojourn. Can I tell you what sojourn is? It's just temporary. I know pastors, preacher, we're only going to be gone for just a little while. We're not going to be gone long. We're just going to go over here for just a little while. It's just going to be a temporary setup. And I think this is where God would have us to go. And usually when those conversations take place, the husband don't say a word. It's usually the wife. Say amen. Amen. Oh, it's good tonight, isn't it? Yeah, I'm telling you, that's usually how it is. It's usually not the man. The husband's not leading the home anyways. But there's usually a woman in the background running her lip saying, I don't like that preacher. I don't like the way he preaches. I don't like what he's saying. He gets on that dress and I can't stand that. Can I tell you, last night I made some people mad when I got on the dress. I don't care. I mean, I told my wife, I said, look at me. I do not care. Can I tell you the Bible is? What the Bible is. And I'm not backing up on it, amen. Can I tell you that there was that sojourn, and a lot of people say, well, we're just going to go for just a little while. But can I tell you, we see what he done. He comes down to verse number 2, in the name of the man Elimelech, the name of Naomi, and the name of their two sons, of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, and they came to a country of Moab. Watch this, and continued there. What turned out to be a temporary turned out to be a permanent. Can I say, a lot of people said, well, I'll just stay at the house temporarily. Why are you still watching that TV? Say amen. Amen. And going back and watching them on, well, I doubt you even doing that, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Going back and watching just a little bit of it on Facebook. Just a little. Can I tell you what's happened? You continued. It's costing you something, sir, for keeping your family away from the things of God and keeping your family out of the house of God, keeping your family around the good things of God. Can I tell you what was supposed to be temporary has turned into complete permanency? I'm going to tell you, if people would have a heart attack, we'd shut them stupid things off. We made it a production. When we're more interested in the cameras than we are about the spirituality of our people. Say amen. And they darken the rooms. They put the blue lights up. And they got the camera angles. And they spend more hours on the production of that church service than you do on your knees asking God to meet with us. There's something wrong. Amen. Telling you. We need to get back to the things of God. But I'm afraid with this mega church movement that's crept in to our independent Baptist churches, and our forefathers would roll over in their grave. Say amen. It's supposed to be just temporary, turned in to permanent. And I'll be honest with you, the spirituality of our nation is not what it was 4 years ago. You can say amen to that, or woe is me. We need to get back to God in this hour. I mean, the altars are not being used no more because you're afraid it's going to lengthen the service. We'll have to spend here 10 more minutes if I go up there. What do you want? What do you want? You want the power of God in your life? And if mama, if your daughters don't see you go to the altar, don't expect them to go either. Say amen. Boy, it's good tonight. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying myself. Permanent. It's even crept in our churches today. People won't move. People afraid to shout. Won't raise their hand no more. Who used to? Who used to add the preacher on? Won't even grunt. Permanent. Tell me if our spirituality is where it should be. Just going to be temporary, preacher. We'll get through this. Oh, we're through it now. 4 years. Now, we're worse off when we were before it started. We've sojourned temporarily. Oh, but we just continued. Got real easy. Don't have to do nothing. Don't have to put your offering in the plate. Don't have to shake nobody's hand. Don't have to stand up and read your Bible. Because you're probably not doing that at home either. Amen. I know I'm home. Okay. Then we see their country. This is where you'll end up. He went to Moab. The wash pot. Where all the filth and the junk ends up. That's what it is. Well, can I tell you, this world is Moab. It's full of filth, full of junk. I mean, Lot lost his family, taking his family, pitching his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Just a little look. But can I tell you, he continued there and lost his whole family. And I tell you, any time you make a move to the world, you're walking away from God. You'll never end up more spiritual in the world, you end up less spiritual in the world. And Elimelech, the husband of that family, walked out on God and went to Moab. Amen. See the failure of here. What was the failure? He got out of God's will. And I say there's about three things or four things here. Number one, we see living in the will of God. Could I say living in God's will, he should have been in Bethlehem, Judah. That's where he should have stayed. The house of bread. And he walked away when the famine hit. He walked away from the house of God. Can I tell you when things hit, why is it? And I read this the other day. Most of the things that people give up easily is because it's the least priority on their heart. Can I tell you, if it's easy for you to walk out that door, you're telling God, your church is the least priority on my heart. Can I say what's happening in our day? The reason we're not having revival, it's the least priority on their heart. Amen. I know God's stirring in some places, but God's no respecter of person. Can I say God can do a work here that could last for years ahead? But if you're walking to that city of Moab, you're telling God, you're my least priority. Can I say what he did is he left the house of bread. Not only that, the house of praise. When you walk away from God, you're walking away of praising him. But not only that, but I love the word of God, how it puts this thought in there, epirta, which means fruitfulness. Can I say, everybody I've ever watched, and I'm watching a couple right now, and they're taking their boy hunting on Sunday to go kill a stupid turkey. Wicked. Wicked. Let me say it just one more time. If shooting a turkey is more important to you than going to the house of God with your boy, you, sir, are wicked. Amen. He's ruining the fruitfulness of his home because he told that boy, it's all right to hunt on Sunday. No, it's not. It's the Lord's day. Amen. Bud Dummer said in a commercial, I was with a guy, and I was visiting him, had a NASCAR race on. I was just went by to visit him, and there was a Bud Dummer commercial come on and said, who said Sunday's a day of rest? Pure blasphemy. Sad thing about it is it's just crept into our homes. Why do we got to go to church on Sunday night when we can go hunting on Sunday afternoon? Just to have a picture with his boy carrying a turkey on his back. Well done. What you're telling your daughters and your son, sir, is that things are a little bit more important than God. Amen. Oh, I know. Boy, y'all got quiet. It's okay. I'll preach it coming. I'll preach it going. But can I tell you, when you walk away, you're leaving. You are leaving living in the will of God. Can I tell you, secondly, you're leaving the will of God because Moab's a washpot. I wonder how many people, I was reading today behind a man, and he said this on that verse about where they left. He left and went to Moab. He said, I'm just in sojourn. Just for a little while. I was reading behind a man about just a little. He said, I wonder if you'd ask a drunk what happened when he took that first little drink. What he thinks about it now. How it ruined his home. Both sides of my family, my mom and dad side, both of them are bootleggers. All of them, most of them are dead. Lost. They split hell wide open. Wouldn't listen to me. They call me the golden child. They ostracize me. They don't even call me. Won't even pick up the phone to check in on me. They want nothing to do with me. When I preached my mama's funeral, in the midst of my mama's funeral, before I went in there, I apologized to my daughters for what they were going to hear, not because what I preached, but what they were fixing to do. And while I was preaching, they were taking the Lord's name in vain while I was preaching. I wonder if I could go to hell and ask him, was that drink worth it? Was that little puff of that joint worth it? Was that needle that you shot up in your arm and blew your mind out, was it worth it? I was reading a story about a preacher who is preaching against rock and roll music. And he was studying it out. And what he didn't realize, the power of that music. And he got to reading the lyrics, then he got to listening to it, and it consumed him. And he had to finally get out of the ministry because he disqualified himself. I wonder if you'd have go to him and said, sir, what was the results of that little note? It blew him out. Yet there's some people probably right here tonight You're dabbling with some little things. Little look, little thought, little desire, a little mind rolling in, a little thought rolling in your mind about how I'd get away with this. What you're looking at on your phone, what you shouldn't be looking at on your phone, what you're listening to on YouTube, what you're listening to on Facebook, what you're watching on Twitter and Instagram, what our children are singing tunes to that a homosexual wrote, and these children are singing behind it. Oh, it's in our Baptist churches. It's in our Baptist churches. And I'm talking about in some strong independent Baptist churches. And when you tell the mom and you tell, I've told the dad, I told one family, I brought to attention one dad, and now they're ridiculing me, telling me there's no way I'm going to tell them how to raise their daughter. I said, if you want her to listen to a homosexual, your problem. But you remember, it's just a little. So, amen. Boy, it's getting quiet tonight. Oh, I think I'm right on where I need to be. Can I tell you, you're leaving the will of God, but can I tell you, you're living apart out of God's will? When you do this, it comes down to me, I, my, and mine. Nothing more than selfishness. I don't find not one time in that Bible where Elimelech ever got on his knees and says, God, do you want me to go to Moab? Say amen. And I say there's a lot of things could be thwarted in our homes. There would be a man get on his knees first. Say, God, do I go or do I stay? But going to Moab, that's a pretty easy answer. That's a no. But can I say a lot of things could be helped in our homes if you would spend more time with God instead of getting selfish. Selfishness is killing our homes. Say amen. It's the reason why it's ruining marriages. Because usually there's one side who's selfish. It's all about what they want, how they want it, how they can manipulate it for their benefit and how they can turn it for their benefit. Just nothing but just plain selfishness. Elimelech was selfish. Say amen. Can I say Samson was selfish? He told his family, go get that girl because she pleases me. Can I say David looked at Bathsheba and said, would you just go get her and bring her to me? Can I say Nathan, he spoke up and said, don't you know that that's the wife of Uriah? Can I tell you what we need? I was listening to Tony Hudson today. Can I tell you what we need? Is we need some men to speak up and not be quiet. Don't do that. Then you get mad at the preacher because he told you not to do that. You're going towards destruction. It's all about me, preacher. Most people that leave our churches, it's usually all about you anyways. It's not about others. It's about your self-indulgence. It's about your attitude. It's about the way you feel about it. Just like some take messages like this and you cut them off and say, I'm not going to listen to him because that man of God don't know what he's talking about. Trust me, I've seen a lot of failures because of somebody who got selfish in their own ways, walked away from God, and ended up in ruin and destruction. I had a boy come up to me, said, do you think smoking pot's wrong? I said, are you a moron? What I told him. He was coming to me looking for an approval. He already made his mind up he was going to smoke that stuff anyways. And he did. And his life is in wreck and ruin. A young lady I told, taught, preached to her in the academy about fornication and adultery, had two children out of wedlock. They come to my children, told them, your daddy don't know what he's talking about. I just use it as a spiritual example for my daughters. See what sin cost? Say amen. They just wanted to have their self-gratification. And sir, if you think holding that arm and that girl that's not yours, God's going to honor, I'm going to tell you, if you're living with her, shacked up with her, you're wickedly wrong. If And I say Elimelech sought to save his life, but sadly he lost it. He left the promises of God and landed in spiritual poverty. Can I say, leaving the will of God causes moral restraint to decline, glitter to dim, and happiness to dwindle. But can I say, there's the funeral that's here. Mahlon Chilion died. And can I say, God did not bless their homes. They had no children. Can I say, he was unfruitful. He walked away from fruitfulness, and he left his daughters or his two sons with no guidance of who they should and should not marry. And they married out of God's will. Now you're going to say, God's used Ruth. That's another part of the story. But can I say, they weren't supposed to do what they did. And because of that, Elimelech led his two sons and put them in a position that God never honored. Can I say, there was that Mahlon. Satan, may I say this, has no traps. Can I say, Satan has no thrills, only traps. Satan has no treasures and only traps. Can I see? Let me finally finish up here the favor of this. Because you say, that's all gloom and doom. And it is. But may I say, there is grace to be had. There's grace to be received in the midst of all this. Oh, that a gracious God would do that is mind-boggling to me. Why he would allow people that would walk out on him and yet allow them to weep their way back to him. Say amen. I'm grateful for that right there last night. I don't know all that took place there, but all I saw was a girl that threw down, that God took a girl and threw her down like a dish rag and wore her out. I'd like to have heard it. I can breathe now. But can I say grace drew Naomi to Bethlehem? Because Naomi heard that there was bread in the land. Well, can I say, tell you what got the prodigal home? He said that God visited his people in giving them bread. Can I tell you, God never did visit Moab. God's not going to visit you out in the world. God's not going to come and talk to you. God's not going to provide you in Moab. But I do see those that stayed in Bethlehem, Judah. I see God passing by those that are being faithful. Amen. And she heard the word got down to Moab. God's visiting his people. God's visiting his people. They got bread in the midst of a famine. And all of a sudden, Naomi got up, started her journey back home, give Orpah and Ruth an opportunity to go back and marry their own kind. Orpah kissed her, kiss of death. But Ruth says, your God shall be my God. And all of a sudden, that grace drew Naomi to Bethlehem. That grace guided her back to Bethlehem. I don't know what that journey was like on the way to Bethlehem, Judah, but it had to be a long one because, oh, Naomi, she was in a desperate situation because the Bible says when she came and they come up to her and said this in verse 19, is this Naomi? Naomi, her name meant pleasant, joyful, happy. And every time you're around Naomi, she is one of those that you like being around. Because she was always upbeat. She was, I guess you could probably say, bubbly. She always had a smile on her face. But she didn't come back the way she left. Can I say, you get out on that world, you'll never come back the way that you left, I promise you. Naomi come back broken and beaten. Can I tell you, she come back, and yet God directed her in that aspect. But in verse 21, the Bible says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because I'm Almighty. Look at what God did to her. The Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. The Lord has brought me home again empty, and the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. Doesn't sound like too much fun out in Moab. But it all started with Elimelech. Can I tell you, leaving the will of God and disobeying the will of God must truly and absolutely must be repented of. D.L. Moody says, repentance is around right about turning away. Can I say she got right? Can I say that grace directed Ruth to a field? Grace debased Ruth at the feet of Boaz, and then grace delight. Because when she came back home, Naomi was blessed. Ruth was blessed. Boaz was blessed. And the tribe of Israel was blessed. Can I tell you what happened last night? It blessed a lot of people. Now, it may not bless me like it blessed Pastor Norris. That's his family. But he got a little happy about it. Matter of fact, he's still a little happy about it. And I could just about say he probably talked about it today. If you probably call him, he probably told you about it. Boy, you just don't know. I don't know. I don't know everything that went on there. All I know is there was a lady got right with God. Well, can I tell you when she got right with God, it blessed others when she got right with God. It blessed other people. This right here could go well beyond the four walls of Fairhaven Baptist Church. It could reach further than the Atlantic Ocean. It could go across over into Dubai. It could go out around the world because of one individual that got right with God. Can I tell you food was available? She said here that she come back empty. But I like what Boaz said there in chapter number 3 when he told Ruth to take that veil off her and he measured off 6 measures of barley. He didn't give that to Ruth for her to keep, but he said this. He says, go not empty unto my mother and unto your mother-in-law. In other words, I know she was full and she come back empty, but can I tell you, our kinsman redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, can I tell you what the world took away? Can I tell you, he can give you back in numerous numbers. Amen. And I tell you, the famine was over. Ruth met Boaz, married Naomi, and married, and Naomi's life was enriched. But you think about this. But by becoming a great-great-grandmother of King David, Elimelech left the king. But in the lineage of Naomi, God gave her another one. Can I say, don't leave Bethlehem. And I don't know, God has so burdened me today about there could be somebody here tonight. You got your eye on Moab. Boy, you're just looking for an opportunity to go. The devil will show you all signs of a good time in Moab. All those wicked beer commercials always showing you have a good time, but they never show you the other side of that. They never show you that drunk driver that kills that innocent baby and that innocent child. They'll never show you that coffin. They'll never show you the alcohol poisoning. They never show you the horrible death that alcohol brings. They never show you the destroyed homes. They never showed you the ruined marriages. They never show you the 2 birthdays and the 2 Christmases and the 2 Thanksgiving them children have to live because liquor splits them homes wide open. They never show you the destruction of pornography and how it's ruined multiple marriages in America. They'll never show you that child that hung himself by listening to a heavy metal music that was over saying your life is worth nothing. They'll never show you the tragedies of a needle. It'll never show you the tragedies of one puff. It'll never show you the tragedy of fulfilling your lustful desire with the opposite sex and the ruins that that can bring outside the bonds of marriage. They never showed you the ruins of going to Moab. Something got the eye of Elimelech that he thought it won't be too bad to go to Moab just for a sojourn. But what he was not planning on was Moab was more stronger than he was, and he just continued. And if we're honest, and it's like this in every church, a pastor can tell you who used to sit here that are no longer here. And who used to sit over here, and they're no longer here. And you used to sit over here, and they're no longer here. And who used to sit over here, and they're no longer here. And he can say, most of it is, we're out in Moab. And it ended up being a 10-year journey in the life of Naomi, which was just supposed to be a little sojourn, ended up costing him much in that 10 years. And Elimelech didn't even get to see what it done because he died. The destruction of his family was very detrimental. And because of his selfish ways about fulfilling his lustful desires of that of just temporal things called food, it took him away. And sadly, in our day, there's probably churches full of people. You got your eye on Moab instead of getting your eye on Bethlehem, Judah, and staying in the place where the house of bread and joy and praise and fruitfulness is. Naomi wasn't shouting in Moab. She was dealt with bitterly, went out full, come back completely depleted, just skin and bones, and can tell you that that world has nothing to offer. Can I ask you tonight as we close, who's got that faraway look tonight in this room that you're looking at Moab, but you haven't thought what it would ruin down the road because of your selfishness, me, I, and mine attitude? It's going to cost you more than you think, sir. We need some dads. We need some husbands that'll become the spiritual role in our homes and that'll be willing to stay with God even when times get tough. Let us stand, every head bowed. Preacher, you come.